Hi and welcome to the Blended Science Podcast. This is a space where we talk about science and its application into our day-to-day lives. And today it is my pleasure and my privilege to interview Dr. Sandile Mthimkhulu, who is a servant, a husband, a friend, and a son who is passionate about transformative education and personal development. He was born at Entumene, which is a rural area in South Africa, and was emotionally and physically abused and rejected by his father in his early childhood. And therefore, he ended up growing in different places, which translated in him changing schools more often. To escape poverty, he actually had to work as a refuse collector and later as a gardener until he completed his matric, which is grade 12. This is whilst his mother, who raised him, was working as a domestic worker. He struggled to adapt at university and dismally failed his first year modules, mostly because of his inability to understand and speak English, which was the medium of instruction. However, through hard work and determination, he now holds a PhD in soil science from the University of KwaZulu-Natal. And when he was doing his master's, I remember he got an opportunity to go and do some work in France. He has had his work published in local and international journals, and is also a reviewer in some of these journals. He's a registered professional natural scientist and serves as a lecturer for soil science and related subjects at Mangosuthu University of Technology, and he is currently studying for the postgraduate diploma in educational technology at the University of Cape Town. Together and his wife, they have recently secured a small holding in the pursuit of his dream of making a notable contribution to the development of young people of South Africa through knowledge exchange. He is also a founder of Sharing is Learning, which is an agricultural knowledge exchange development. Now, in this conversation, you'll get to hear about Sandile's story, you know, how he overcame all the challenges that he faced, and which is also interesting is how we can actually take care of our soil. You know, there have been a lot of talks about how our soil is nutrient depleted or nutrient poor. So he comes in with a lot of expert knowledge and very much qualified to make such suggestions. Now, friends, you'll notice that in this recording, there's a little bit of an echo, which is as a result of the acoustics of the room that we used for recording. Otherwise, please enjoy the episode and be encouraged. Now, without further ado, here is our episode with Sandile. Now, Sandile, that was an impressive bio.
Yeah, I know. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm interested in your story, particularly struggling with your first year subjects, you know, struggling to adjust with university, and how you were able to overcome that.
You know, it's I would say there's a lot of things that actually are things that helped me there, or things that I did in order to actually escape, you know, or come out of that problem that I was in. Firstly, you know, I remember that I was always, almost always at the student counseling, you know, trying to get help. But, I mean, they did their part, I believe, in trying to help me. But I think the thing that changed everything for me, it was the mindset, the change in the way I looked at myself, the change in the way I looked at things around me. The change in the way I looked at myself. You know, so I could say it was a change of mindset, you know. So I think that's what changed everything for me, because I got to a point where I was like, you know what, enough is enough. I think I deserve to be here and I deserve to get this qualification, you know. So I'm going to do everything possible in order to get what I need or what I deserve, which is the qualification that I went to the university for, you know, and that changed everything. I mean, actually, this actually reminds me of one of the things that was said by somebody, you know, that, you know, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. So that's exactly what happened to me. You know, after that, you know, I started getting marks that I never thought I would get from the university.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So yeah, that's mainly what changed.
Yeah. Wow, that's impressive, man. And I guess it's applicable to, you know, just in life.
Yeah,
for sure. Life in general. And in this podcast, I always like to celebrate people who are doing well like you. I want to show how, you know, you started from literally zero.
Yeah, negative maybe.
You know, starting from a negative, you know, up to now, what I'll call 100. It's always interesting and it's always encouraging for someone who is on the ground and they're really trying their best, you know, to pave their way in terms of their success.
Yeah, so.
So now, this is interesting. You worked as a refuse collector and you find yourself now with a PhD. How does that happen, you know, for someone who came from a poor background and now you find yourself in this almost privilege.
Oh yeah.
Almost privileged situation.
Yeah, man. I would say I don't lie to you and say when I was working as a refuse collector or working as a gardener, you know, I knew that I would be able to get to where I am today.
Yeah.
I mean, at that time, I think the thing that made me keep on going, it was the belief to say there's a better life than the life that I was living. I just knew that there's something better than, you know, something better out there, you know. So that thing kept me going because even in high school, I mean, I was doing very well, mainly because I was like, I could see people, I mean, completing their matric and going to universities and start living a better life. So, I mean, there wasn't many of them from my area, but I could see them, you know. So in my mind or in my heart, I knew that there's something better out there, you know. So I should do anything and everything possible to try and get out of where I was,
sure.
You know. So, sure. And then I think it was just one step. I just took one step at a time, you know. Yeah. I mean, I passed the next test, passed the test, prepare for the next one, pass the test, prepare for the next one. Yeah. You know, I think it was like that, complete the matric, go to the university, you know, yeah. Just following that. And then I ended up getting to where I am, and which I think maybe I've just done, I believe, 10% of what I should do in my life. So, yeah.
Sure. No, that sounds good, man. It's also interesting, you know, because I also come from a rural area.
Yeah.
And I'm interested in finding out what got you into soil science, because I know career guidance was something that was rare, you know, in our times.
Yeah.
You know, I remember, you know, with my passion for medicine, my passion for science, I always wanted to do medicine, and I thought, if I don't get into medicine, I'll do hospitality. You know, because I thought, wow, hospitality, you work at the hospital. You know, you know. And so I want to find out from you, Sandile, what got you into soil science?
I would say the thing that got me to soil science is love for soils. I didn't know that I loved soils. But maybe let me just explain to you what is it that I registered, or first registered for at the university. So when I got to the university, I knew that I wanted to do agriculture, but I didn't know that there is something called specialization. So I remember a day before the registration, I was just looking at the list of things I could specialize on, you know, and I just saw crop. And I was like, you know what? I know what a crop is. So that's what I'm going to specialize on. You know, so I ended up registering for, crop science, BSc in agriculture, specializing in the crop science in my first year. But in second year, I had to do soil science as a support subject. You know, and I think it was love at first sight. Yeah, love at first sight. I think because I just saw the thing. I just enjoyed it. From the first day, I just enjoyed Soils End. In that same semester, mm-hmm. I went to the head of department in soil science. I said, I want to change to Soils.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and from that day, I never looked back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't regret that I changed to Soils. You know,
So now, Sandile, you know, we've had talks, you know, globally and nationally about how our soils are nutrient deficient, which then translates into vegetables and fruits that are nutrient deficient, Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, nutrient poor soils or nutrients that are deficient in soils that are deficient in nutrients. I mean, that is actually common almost everywhere.
Yeah.
Not only in our country, not only in Africa. I mean, everywhere, all over the world.
Yeah.
They do have soils that are nutrient poor. And that generally, it is caused by, I would say, human interference. That's the main thing that is causing that. But that's not the only factor. There are many other factors. And by saying that it's the human interference, that doesn't necessarily mean that there are no soils that are inherently nutrient poor. Mm-hmm. You know, there are those soils that will just develop. From their developmental stage, you find that they're nutrient poor because of the parent material in which they came from. You know, but this problem is generally caused by human interference. So question could be, how do we interfere? So we'd know that in order for us to grow crops, we have to plow the field or plow the soil. And as we plow in the soil, generally what happens is that we break down all the organic material, you know, and by breaking down the organic material, which means you are getting rid of the source of nutrients. You know, the soil is generally is getting nutrients from this organic matter. And when you're cultivating the field, you are breaking down that organic matter. You're actually getting rid of it, you know. So, and when you do that, which means the soil now is going to end up depending on you as a land user for these nutrients. Because we have gotten rid of the source of these nutrients, you know. So, I think that's how it happens. Yeah, and obviously, if your soils now are nutrient poor, then the crop that you're gonna grow from those soils is gonna be nutrient poor. It's not gonna have sufficient nutrients, you know, and it's not gonna grow properly. The yields that are gonna come from that field or from those soils, crop yields are gonna be very low. And the crop that you're gonna get from there is gonna be a crop of poor quality.
Wow. So now, as we're talking about nutrients, I'm thinking, are there specific nutrients we're talking about here that are usually deficient on the ground? Especially affected by, as you mentioned it, human interference and the like.
Yeah, I mean, I'll put it this way. Actually, the nutrients that are likely to be deficient in certain soils, I would say they're generally determined or influenced by the area in which the soil is found.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
For example, if you look at the soils that are found in a low rainfall area, they're generally poor in, I would say, in most of the micronutrients. Right.
Sure.
For example, manganese, you'd find that it's poor. The iron is generally poor there. Maybe boron, you'd find that sometimes it's poor there. It's deficient there. So in order for you to make sure that the crop gets enough of that, which means you have to supplement it. All right. So you have to supplement those nutrients. If you look at, in high rainfall areas, you would find that nutrients that are generally low there is nutrients like calcium, magnesium, potassium. You find that they're very low, you know, and if you don't, apply those nutrients into the soil, you find that the crop is not going to get enough of that. And and then obviously if it doesn't get enough of those nutrients, it's not going to grow the way it's supposed to grow.
Wow, man. Thank you so much for articulating that so well. You know, as you're also explaining, I'm thinking, well, someone who's at home, they're probably thinking, what can I do? You know, what can I do to manage my soul better?
Yeah, I mean, I like to start by saying that, obviously, if you want to manage your soils better, you would want to test those soils in order to see what is in there before you decide as to what you're going to apply.
Yeah.
You know, but I know that I also know that a lot of people would say that is expensive because they have to spend a little bit of money to try and test their soils. Mm-hmm. But if you don't want to do that, and you feel like you don't have money to do that, I would suggest that just add organic material.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could be crawl manure. It could be leaves that you're collecting that you're raking from your yard. Instead of burning them or throwing them away, you just make compost, add those into your soil. They're going to improve the health of your soil and the fertility of your soil. And then if, let's say, maybe you stay in the city where you say, oh, I don't have crawl manure, what is it that I need to do? There is a lot of kitchen waste that you can use. We eat vegetables. You can take the waste from vegetables. You throw it into your garden. It's going to improve the fertility of your soil. We have got, eggshells. You can take that, crush it, throw it into your vegetable garden. There's a lot of calcium there. It's going to improve the health of your soil, the fertility of your soil. So there's a lot of things that you can do. Yeah.
Wow, man, that sounds really good. You know, from someone who is in the health science sphere, when you talk about all these nutrients, I can already, you know, think, okay, you're talking about potassium, you're talking about magnesium and the like. For example, magnesium is usually depleted when one is stressed, you know, and looking at the time that we are going through, I actually personally take magnesium every day. It really helps me as well for recovery, muscle recovery. You know, I believe that if we were able to solve, as you suggested, the whole nutrient poor soils, I believe that we could really be able to solve this this challenge of having crops that lack nutrients. So yeah, thank you so much for those suggestions, Mtumkulu. Now, we are facing a lot of challenges. Unemployment is very high. It seems as if, to me, agriculture and just going back to our own ways, you know, this is September Heritage Month. And, you know, let's go back to farming and just producing our own things. Do you have any advice on that?
Yeah, man, I think that's a great idea. Because I think that actually can help a lot in terms of, if we can produce our own food, regardless of the size of the field that we're using. I would actually encourage our people to actually go back and go back into producing their own food. It doesn't matter the size of the field. It could be a small field. It could be something like maybe a 5 meter by 5 meter. You know, if you're doing things properly there, in that small piece of land, I mean, you can get a lot of food from that. Especially if you're growing vegetables. You know. So I'm not saying that would actually feed the whole family or the whole community, but you would have something that you can eat, you know. So one of the things I would suggest that we should not wait until we have a big piece of land before we start. You know, it doesn't matter how small the piece of land you have. Just start with whatever you have. No matter how small it is, just start and producing crops from that. And I think we can only grow from there. Yeah.
The most important thing is for us to start.
It's to start. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
You know, even if you don't have everything that you need, just start. You know, and then you'd see. Yeah.
And this is interesting, Sandile, as we close, that, you know, someone will start small and they'll learn and then end up, you know, finding maybe a much bigger land, and then they start producing stuff. And then maybe they even start selling to the community, but you find that the community is not going to buy from the neighbor, you know, they would rather go to town. And I think it's just important for to encourage communities to sort of help each other and have the money circulate.
Yeah, for sure.
Within the communities.
I don't know why we're not doing that. Because if you have a piece of land, let's say I have maybe half a hectare, and my neighbor has maybe a quarter of a hectare, another one has maybe a hectare or 2 hectares, whatever. I mean, even if you have 0.2 of a hectare or something, if you're producing something, there's another person producing something different, and then we can sell to each other in our own villages. We don't have to go to we don't have to go to town to buy vegetables while my neighbor is producing it. You know, actually, it's going to be even much, much cheaper. You know, if I buy it from my neighbor. So I don't know why we're not doing that, because I've seen a lot of people doing it, like especially even in the area where I am, people are doing that. You know, so I think it's we just have to remember that as the Black nation, you know, no one is going to rescue us if we if we do not rescue ourselves. You know, I think we just have to remember that the ball is on our court. We have to do what we need to do in order to feed our families. You know, and we have something that we can work with. I believe in that we do have something that we can work with. I've heard people saying, "Oh, no, I don't have land." I'm like, but in your backyard, there's something, you know. So, you know, even if you're going to have 10 or 20 cabbages from there, someone is going to buy those cabbages. Or you're going to, if they don't buy them, you're going to eat. You're going to have something to eat, you know. Yeah.
Wow. This actually reminds me of, there's a lady we used to work with in the lab. She was from Tanzania. She was so surprised to see that our only currency in South Africa is money. Because she was saying that in Tanzania, if you have a particular produce, you can go to someone else and buy using whatever you're producing, you know. Go with the cabbage and be like, okay, in exchange, please give me carrots or whatever, you know. And she was like, wow, you guys are really, really deep in you know, in this whole thing of depending on money and the like. So I think it's something one can learn from.
And I think our parents used to do it. I mean, it's just that things changed, you know. But I think our parents used to do that, because I remember at home when I was very, very young, we didn't have money. You know, we didn't have money, but you'd find that there is food, because our neighbor has maize, he's growing maize, and then we have amadumbe at home, and then somebody else has maybe has sugar beans or whatever, you know, and then you end up having something, I mean, to eat, you know, because your neighbor has it.
Sure.
I mean, you didn't have to have money in order to buy from your neighbor, you know. So I think we can do that even now, you know.
Absolutely, man. This has been a great conversation, Sandile. I appreciate your insights. I appreciate your expertise and all that you're doing, man. I wish you all the best with your endeavors.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks, Sandile. Cheers.
Cheers, man.
Now, back to our listeners. I just want to take some time and say thank you for listening to our episodes and also sharing with your friends. This has been an encouraging conversation with Dr. Mthimkhulu, and also very informative in giving us tips on how we can take care of our soils, which is a better way of celebrating our heritage. Otherwise, that is it from me, ladies and gents. Have a great day. I'm out. Bye.